Hold it up nice and high in the air. Oh, yes, very nice, all the way around. Let's turn to the book of John. John chapter number 4. So in March, I had challenged the teens to go with my wife and I through the book of John through April. And each day, take an extra 5 minutes of the day and read a specific chapter. So on April 1st, they would have read John chapter number 1, April 2nd, John chapter number 2, so on and so forth. And every time we come together, whether it's Thursday night youth, Sunday school, we'd spend just a couple minutes talking, sharing what they got out of it. We would share what we got out of it. And it was a great time. It was encouraging to hear many of the younger teens come with something that they had gotten from the Word of God and what God spoke to them about, maybe a verse that stood out to them. So a lot of what I have here tonight is just through the challenge that we went through together and just reading through the book of John. And so, if you're able to stand, John chapter number 4, we'll be going through different portions of the book of John, comparing Scripture with Scripture and how they tie together and pull out this main emphasis. But in the beginning of John chapter number 4, the Bible says, "And he," Jesus, "must needs go through Samaria." He was on his way to Galilee, but he had an appointment with a Samaritan woman. He was wearied with his journey, the Bible says, and he sat down on Jacob's well. And he asked this Samaritan woman as she came to draw water, "Give me to drink. Draw me something to drink. I'm thirsty." And she said, "You, being a Jew, why are you asking me, a Samaritan, for something to drink?" And he went on to explain that the water that he had to offer, that she would never thirst again if she would ask for it. And she says, "But you have nothing to draw with. You don't have a bucket, nothing to draw this water." And so he went on to explain exactly what he meant. And he said, "Woman, go and call thy husband. Go get your husband and bring him back here." And before you know it, she's brought basically the whole city with her. And the Bible says that many people believed on Jesus for her word or for Jesus' word. Many people were saved that day. But I want to draw your attention to something that's inserted into this account. And it's verse 31. The Bible says, "In the meanwhile," so while this Samaritan woman has gone away to her city to get her husband, "in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, 'Master, eat.' But he said unto them, 'I have meat to eat that ye know not of.' Therefore said the disciples one to another, 'Hath any man brought him aught to eat?'" Verse 34, "Jesus saith unto them, 'My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have called us. Lord, we thank you that we're found worthy to do your work according to your will. Lord, help us to seek your will and way above our own. I pray that you would help us to understand these verses. Open our eyes, open our hearts, and help us to be ready to receive them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to bring a message that we'll call, "We'll Work for Food." We'll work for food. And it comes from verse 34. "Jesus saith unto them, 'My meat," the food, "is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." We'll work for food. Turn to John chapter number 6. He expounds on this in John chapter number 6. And I talked briefly, well, not so briefly, more in detail last time I gave the message. But John chapter number 6, look at verse number 27. "Keeping in mind, Jesus said, 'My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work.'" John chapter number 6 and verse 27, Christ speaking says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Verse 29, "Jesus answered and said unto them, 'This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Will work for food. So I want to look at those three basic words. First, we'll look at his food. Secondly, the will. And then his work. So beginning with his food, if you turn back to John chapter number 4, I want to point out something that we did not read before. And that's in verse number 8. John chapter number 4, verse number 8. So the Bible said that Jesus, therefore being wearied with his journey, set on the well. But we see here in parentheses, verse number 8, that the disciples were not around when he was talking to the Samaritan woman. Verse 8 says, For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. I would consider that a good thing. They were gone to provide for the Lord. And then they come back. Verse 31, In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. They had made it back with some food. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. He wasn't talking about the meat of the physical needs that they had brought back, but there was something different he was alluding to. Verse 33, Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And I can just imagine hearing the disciples as they were going away to get the food and coming back, Jesus sitting on Jacob's well. Maybe they were talking about some of the old scriptures and what they had read and heard about Jacob and Esau. And they'd ask, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And they were coming back with the food. And maybe they thought, maybe somebody like Jacob had snuck in and got here before they had made it back and fed the Lord Jesus Christ. They were looking for some sort of blessing or fulfill some need of the Lord. But maybe somebody had got back. Or maybe they had thought that there was some lad with a lunch here that had fed the Lord Jesus Christ and offered his lunch. But nonetheless, Jesus was going to reveal to them that he wasn't talking about food to fulfill a physical need. He was talking about something far greater. In verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, My meat, my food, is to do the will of him that sent me. Now, most of us, I would say, get hungry throughout the day. Most of us probably don't go a day without missing a meal, maybe unless we're praying and fasting. But I would say, for the most part, we eat typically three meals a day, and we don't skip a meal. And most of the time, I like some good food that is going to provide some nourishment, something that's going to, some people say, stick to your ribs or stick with you a while. And when you think about hamburgers, I like a good hamburger. I like all the toppings. It doesn't matter what it is, for the most part. You can put it on a hamburger, and I'll eat it. But occasionally, you'll be driving down the road, and you'll see a sign of Burger King, something like that, and they'll advertise the Impossible Burger. Now, I've never tried one because I have no desire to try one because I'm satisfied with the real thing. I'm satisfied with the real burger. And if you like the Impossible Burger, then you can have mine. But for me, I'd rather have the real deal. And Jesus here was going to be talking about something greater than the physical need. He was going to be talking about the real deal. You see, the disciples wanted to care for his physical hunger, but he was going to talk about a spiritual hunger. He was going to talk about the meat of the will of him that sent him. Something far, far greater. You've probably watched the commercials on TV, and it's in the middle of the episode of what you're watching, and all of a sudden this sad music starts to play in the background, and somebody gets on there and talks really sober. And in the background, maybe there's some pictures of some starving kids, and rightfully so. It would be good to raise some money for them here and there. But while they are hungering, their physical appetite needs to be met. There's a greater need that needs to be met, and that's their spiritual appetite. But you don't see many people getting on the TV and putting together a commercial and offering to send money to send a missionary over there or to fulfill their spiritual needs, their spiritual appetite. But here Christ is pointing to the greater need, the spiritual need. The disciples focused on the spiritual hunger, but Christ had a greater hunger. He said, there's something greater inside of me that's going to nourish my soul far greater than what you've brought back to me. Turn back to Mark chapter number 2. And here he clearly points this out. Hold your spot in John chapter number 4. We'll come back. But the day would come when this man, sick of the palsy, had four friends. And these four friends would be carrying him in his bed to Jesus. Now Jesus was preaching and teaching in a room, in a house, and they could not enter in through the door because the press. It was crowded. And so they carry this man, sick of the palsy, up to the roof, and they tear it apart, and they lower him down inside. And I want you to notice what the Bible says here in verse number 5. Mark chapter 2, verse number 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. All that were gathered around were saying, Who does this guy think he is? He's speaking blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus was saying, Yes, I know he brought the sick of the palsy to me. They're faithful friends. They're good friends in doing this. But I was going to care for the greater need. I was going to care for the thing that was most important, his spiritual need, not his physical need. And Jesus Christ, back in John chapter number 4, is going to teach these guys, the disciples, there's a greater need than that that is hunger for the physical. So, turn to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Jesus here is teaching his disciples. We're going to read here just a few verses. Matthew chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 31. Keeping in mind will work for food. Jesus says, Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He says you're going about caring about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat, but there's something far greater, something far more important. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, that which is spiritual, leading others to me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then those other things, physical hunger, all those other things, shall be added unto you. In Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 6, Jesus said, Blessed is the man that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. There was a greater need than that which the disciples were trying to care for. The Samaritan woman being saved provided Christ more satisfaction, more nourishment than any amount of meat, any amount of food that the disciples had with them. So we see firstly, his food. Secondly, his will. Look back at John chapter number 4, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, My meat, my food, that which nourishes me, is to do the will of him that sent me. Flip over one page to John chapter number 5. Look at verse number 30. He's going to repeat something similar here. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Look at John chapter number 5 and verse 30. Jesus says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. He repeats it again in John chapter number 6. We read it earlier. Look at verse number 38. The Bible says, For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He was here to do the will of him that sent him. And you and I can consider God's will. We can consider his sovereign will, his will for all. And there's many things in the scriptures that talk about his will for all people. It's his will for all people to come to church. It's his will for all people to give thanks in everything. It's his will for all people to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. That would be God's sovereign will. But you could talk more specifically for his personal will, his will for you and his will for I, what we are to do while we're here trodden this earth below. What is it that he has for us specifically? Turn to Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1 will reveal to us why Christ came. And then we'll talk more specifically about our specific will. If God had a will for Christ as he was sent here to earth, you can rest assured he has a will for you and I. He's placed us here specifically in this moment in history for a specific purpose, a specific will. Look at verse number 1, Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle. Notice what he says, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. He found out his will, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God, Christ was sent here for a purpose, for the will of the Father. And we'll see later he's going to accomplish that will. But looking at the Apostle Paul, flip over just one book to Ephesians. And I want you to notice how Paul addresses these different letters that he's wrote. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 1. Paul here has written, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. In many other of his letters, considering 1 and 2 Corinthians, 2 Timothy, and Colossians, he would address and open the letter the exact same way. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. The apostle Paul found out what his specific will, his personal will of God was for his life. And you and I have that same purpose. You and I have that same expectation to find out what it is that God has for us. If we were to turn to Acts chapter 13, you don't have to turn there, but go ahead and turn to John 4 again. Acts chapter 13, verse 36, the preacher mentioned this at the last youth rally. It talks about David. Most of us know about David. It says, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God. He had a plan and a purpose when he was alive here on this creation for his life, and he sought that out. God revealed it to him, and he was obedient unto the will of God in his own generation. And you and I have to do the same thing. Romans chapter number 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You and I have a responsibility to find out what it is that God has sent us here for. What is his will for our life? Will work for food. We've saw the food. We've saw his will. Now let's look lastly at the work. Verse 34, John chapter 4. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Most of us are familiar with John chapter number 3, verse 16. Probably the most popular verse in all the Bible. But to continue on reading from verse 16, verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So it reveals to us why he wasn't sent, and then goes on to let us know why he was sent. All through Christ's life here on earth, he was all about his Father's business. We could read Luke chapter number 2, even as a 12-year-old boy, his parents couldn't find him. And his mother addresses him, "Where have you been, son? We've been looking for you." And Jesus says, "Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business? While he was here on earth, he had a plan, he had a purpose, and that was to finish the work of God." Luke chapter number 19, if we were to read the story of Zacchaeus. In verse number 10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That was his ultimate goal, that he was to finish that work that God had sent him for. Now, Christ did many things, many miracles, worked many signs and wonders outside of those things. But they all pointed back to God. They all pointed to the purpose, the will, and the work that he was there for. And he was focused on what was most important, that greater need, that spiritual need. In John chapter number 17, let's turn there. John chapter number 17. I want to point out a couple things here in verse number 4. Jesus Christ here is praying. He's praying to God, his Father. And as he's lifting his voice to God, he says in verse number 4, "I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Jump down to verse number 17. He's continuing to pray, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." So he's saying, "I have finished the work you've given me to do, and now as my work is complete, I'm sending others out to do the same thing, to fulfill the will of God and to finish his work." Turn over to John 19. Here we see the stamp of approval, the final gavel here is coming down. John chapter number 19. Remember, Christ is telling the disciples, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." John chapter number 19, verse 30, Christ is here on the cross. The Bible says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.'" The debt was paid. He had finished the work God sent him to do. Now look at chapter number 20. Look at verse number 19. Again, we see a repeat of chapter 17. John chapter number 20, verse 19. The Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, 'Peace be unto you.' And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, 'Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you.'" Christ finished his work here on earth. He was sending the disciples out to do the work of God, their specific will. And you and I are here today for the same purpose, to continue that work. Christ finished his work, but we have a work to do. And we have the responsibility to find out what that work is. Now, there's a portion of Scripture back in John chapter number 4 that I didn't read for a purpose. But I would like to read now. If you turn back to John chapter number 4, look at verse 34. Continuing on, after Jesus has said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Notice what it says after that, verse 35. "Say not ye, 'There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest.' Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, 'One soweth and another reapeth.' I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." You know, it talked about David and how he served his own generation by the will of God. That's a harvest that's already passed. You and I can do nothing for that harvest. But there's a harvest today that we must get busy harvesting. We may be working the labors of somebody else that's come before us. We may be working the labors and harvesting that which somebody else has planted the seed or watered. Now, we know God does the saving, but we are to do the laboring. We are to do God's work here on earth. There's a harvest for us here today that we must begin giving and working towards harvesting. 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 7, "For I am now ready to be offered," Paul says, "and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Paul knew there was a harvest in his day that he had to harvest. Others may have planted, others may have watered. He needed to do some harvesting. Look at John chapter number 9 as we draw to an end. John chapter number 9, look at verse number 1. Jesus here is about to do another miracle. He's dealing with a man that was born blind. In John chapter number 1, or excuse me, John chapter 9, verse 1. "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.'" Hey. Jesus was saying, "My time is now. I'm here for this appointed reason, the work of God, and I'm going to finish that work. But each and every one of us have a work from God according to His will. And there's coming a day when the night will be here. Our opportunity will be no more. The harvest is ready. We must work while it is day. Our opportunity will soon be over. Now is the appointed time. We must get busy. We must get working for the work of God." God's work should not be a drudgery or an inconvenience, something that we just absolutely force ourselves to do and labor through. We should delight in doing God's work. We should delight in the will of God. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." Christ joyfully did the will and work of God. And so after preparing this message, I had to ask myself a question. If the title of this message is, "Will Work for Food," do I have an appetite? Do I have an appetite for this food, this spiritual hunger? And as I considered an appetite for this work and for the will of God, looking back on my own life, there's really two times that I would summarize that if I didn't have an appetite, it would be for one of these two reasons. Number one, it could be that I'm content. I don't have an appetite because I'm content with the way things are. I'm not seeking to do any more. I'm not seeking to grow as a Christian. I'm not seeking to continue to seek God as I read through His Word. And in those instances, I've found out that I needed to work up an appetite. When I wasn't having an appetite to do the will of God, I needed to get to work. And as I began to work, just like in the physical aspect, an appetite would begin to come. You begin to work, you'll start to get hungry before too long. And I can always say, after I've began to work, I've never regretted the work that I've done. You know, I don't always want to come to church. And I think if we were all honest, we could agree sometimes I'd like just to sit at home. But I can honestly say, in the times I've worked and came here for church, afterwards I've never regretted. I've never said to myself, "No, I wish I wouldn't have gone." And there are times when I wake up in the morning that I don't have the appetite to read God's Word. But I can say, as I've pushed through and worked, I've never finished reading and said, "No, I wish I hadn't read that today." Every time after I push through and do His work, an appetite grows and it builds. And I'm always grateful I came to church. I'm always grateful that I read His Word. I'm always grateful that I witnessed for Him. Secondly, not only in the times I've not been, or that I've been content, I've noticed that I've been full. I didn't have an appetite because I'm full. And the times I've been full is because all I've been doing is been taking in, and just like the Dead Sea, not giving out. I'm full and overflowing, and in those times I need to get to work and give out. Being a witness and sharing God's Word, I need to do the work and give out. And if you don't have an appetite, get to work. Seek God's will. What is it that He has you here for? We must finish our work. It's a work sent from God to us. We're here for a purpose. We're here for a reason. And I'll close with 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, not just life, but the abundant life. We thank You that we can live a victorious Christian life, Lord, as we desire You, as we seek Your will for our lives, as we seek Your will above our own. We thank You that You're a God whose ways and will is far above ours. We thank You that You have a work for us to do. Lord, help each and every one of us not to just sit idly by and let day after day go by. Lord, help us to work while the day is here. For there's coming a day when we won't have that opportunity. Help us to get busy with Your work while we have that opportunity. Lord, help each and every one of us to fulfill Your will for our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're able to stand, hymn 9.